And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Join Pastor Karen Wee Damilola Gabriel of Menorah School of the Spirit World as he heralds the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom and intimacy with the Godhead. Be blessed as you listen.
Glory. Thank you for the privilege of the seventh day. Thank you for your sustenance. Thank you for your strength. We adore you, Holy Ghost. May your name alone be glorified. As we look into your word, you will change our lives. Thank you, precious Lord. Your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. If you are online or on site, please ensure you share the broadcast. Spread it to every social media platform to intimate people that we are online, that we are live. Alright, and I want you to extend this to everyone because I believe today is going to be awesome. The Lord is going to enlighten us. All we want to do is to put us in a remembrance of the things that we have previously known. But more light is going to break into our spirit, even as we look into the Word. Alright, please ensure you share with someone. Tell them to listen to today's meeting. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Alright, I sense strongly that I have to intimate us with something very important before we move into the subject matter of today. We are beginning living the supernatural today. Alright, and I'm going to begin from the foundation, from the basics, and we ride on the wings as we forge ahead. Alright, but I sense so strongly that I have to bring enlightenment in an important area that I believe is going to help us. Please. Okay. We have spaces here. All right. Hallelujah. So please pay attention as I reveal something powerful. You know, many a times there are a lot of confusion as to why sometimes we pray and we seem not to get instantaneous result to our prayers. Not because you have not heard, you have not seen God answer your prayers before. However, sometimes there are prayers that you bring forward and you don't seem to get results. Sometimes it takes longer than we expected. Is that true? All right. And sometimes we query within our mind that what is going on? Why is this prayer not being answered? I want to answer you today, okay? I sense I have to teach this. So I'll talk about this very briefly before we move on, alright? So that there will not be confusion. Alright, these are some of the questions that some people who became atheists today, they ask. Are you following me now? Some say that if God is a good God, how come I've been praying about this particular matter for donkey years and I'm not seeing results? Are you following me now? Are you interested in this? Are you sure you're interested? I'm very sure people will be interested. Though I'm just going to do briefly, maybe in 10 minutes or thereabouts. Hallelujah. But I believe that in the 10 minutes, I'm going to answer the question upon the template of your heart. Mark's Gospel chapter 11. Mark's Gospel chapter 11. And verse... Let's do King James first. And we're also going to do Amplified. Okay? So let me display. Hallelujah. And I'm a lover of King James. Verse 24. But we also do Amplified. So once I read King James, we also go to Amplified. Okay? Alright. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, alright, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Hallelujah. I'm just going to make do with verse 24. This is where the answer is. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's do Amplified. And so we'll come back here. Alright. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them. Now, mark the word received. Right? You check the tense. Received is in past tense. Is that true? Believe that you have received them and they will be given to you. Hallelujah. Alright, so King James says that whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you desire, it says believe that you have received them, right? And you shall have them. There are two important things there that you must pay attention to. The Bible says that anytime you desire a thing, right? Even though Amplified told us that according to God's will, but it is still your desire, right? Every time you desire a thing, it says, what do? You pray about it. And when you pray about it, you believe that you have received them. You believe. That's the number one thing that you must pay attention to. That every time you pray, this reality called believe, go back to King James. This reality called believe must be in place. So that there will not be anything called iota of doubt. Apostle James told us that. Do not that any man that is wavering will receive anything from the Lord. Right? That's what James says. That if you are wavering, double-mindedness, he says such will not receive anything from the Lord. So, one thing you must put in place when you pray, number one is that you must believe that you have received them, right? You must believe. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says that he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe. You see, when any prayer you pray, whatever you are trusting the Lord for, the very first thing that must be written within the template of your heart is the language of belief. You must believe. Are we together now? You must believe that you have received them. And the Bible says to us, that when you believe, you shall have them. You shall have them. Please, this is where the crux of the matter is. When you believe, the Bible didn't say that when you believe, you already have it. I want to show you powerful things today. Are you following me now? The Bible says, when you believe, you shall. You don't have them yet. You shall have them. So, listen to me. Between your believing and your having is what we call time. If you don't learn this, then you will put blame on God. You believe to receive, but you don't have them, Andy. It is not physical yet. Are you following me now? You believe to receive first in the spirit, but between your believing and receiving, right, and you having them physically is what we call time. This must be put in place. You must understand that there is a timing between your receiving and your having. Your receiving is spiritual, your having is physical. Are you following me now? Your receiving is spiritual, your having is physical. So that whatever you have not first received in the spirit cannot become Andy physically. Whatever you have not first received in the spirit cannot become material, cannot be manifest. And I will explain this to you shortly, right? So that we don't get confused, and so that we understand how not to lose hope or faint in the days of adversity. Because the Bible says that if we faint in the days of adversity, our strength is small. So you must understand that every time you pray, God answers your prayer. Unto him that answers prayer shall all flesh come. That must ring within you. You should not have the mindset of, is God answering my prayer or not? No. God is a answer praying God, or praying answer God. Are you following now? You must settle that course that God always answers. Always. But between the answered prayers and the having of the answered prayers is what we call time. And you must learn that. And I will show you why it happens like that. For example, if you are trusting God for a kind of financial flow, okay, you are trusting God for favor, I like you to know that it is God who answers your prayer. Is that true? But it is a man that will respond to the answered prayer. Hello? I'm saying to you that God uses a man in actualizing his possibilities. So it means that if you pray that, God, please favor me, God, please give me money, it is a man that will be used. And you must learn that the man that God is going to be use could be disobedient. The same way you disobey God. Are there not times that God inspires you to bless somebody and you don't respond? So in the same vein, there are people that God inspires to bless you, but they will not respond. Some can take 1 year. Amania. Are you learning today? Are you learning time? Some, they could take 2 years to respond. Some could take 3 years. So the problem is not on God's side. The problem is on man's side. Man is the variable here. Man is the problem. Are we getting blessed? So the problem is not God. Are you following me now? The problem is on the side of man. So already, God already inspired a man to respond to you. But the man could be obstinate. The man could be recalcitrant. The man could be hardened. You don't imagine. You don't imagine the level of hardiness of Pharaoh. That he was supposed to let God's people go. But Pharaoh was hardened. Do you understand? God's people would have gone for long. But because a man decided to stall the flow of God's instruction. God doesn't force himself on man. Are you following me now? He will not force you. If God inspires you to bless me, are you following me now? He needs your response. He needs your consent. He needs that you align to his instruction. If you refuse to align, it means that I'm in a place of deficiency. Not because God hasn't answered, but because a man refuses to respond to God, to be yielding or to be yielded. My prayer was stalled, not God stalling my prayer. Aye. And the level at which we yield differs. If God inspires him to bless me, it could take 6 months to respond. And if God inspires maybe her, she could take just 1 day. So those days that somebody responded to your prayers and you got answer in 24 hours, it was because the person was malleable in God's hand. The person was yielding. The person was yielded. So sometimes, have you not seen when you pray and you get answers immediately? Is that not true? It's because the person responded. And there's another person that will take 1 year to respond. Have you not heard people when they say, you see, God has been inspiring me to bless you with this thing for 1 year or 2 years. But, you know, I've been struggling to do so. Are you following now? Whose fault is that? Man, not God. He says, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. But between this time and this time is time. And that time is dependent on man. And you know that time is the unit of life. Are you following me now? It's dependent on man, no longer God. So, what is your posture in the days when you are expecting your result? Is that you are continuing supplicating. It's not the day you keep mute. That's our problem. You know what you are doing? As you are supplicating, you are putting pressure on the man to help you. The pressure is not on God. We must understand these things very clearly. The pressure is not on God. It's on the man that God already handpicked to bless you. You cannot imagine how that Mordecai had revealed a secret about those who were intended to kill the king. Do you remember? And for donkey years, nothing happened. Until a night, the Bible says in Esther chapter 6 that the king could not sleep. He ordered that they bring the book of Chronicles. And when he began to read, he saw what Mordecai did for him. And he says, what was the thing that we did to Mordecai? Said nothing. Said, ah! Mordecai was suffering. Even though he did good, there was nothing that they did to him in return as a reward. So the man said, no, we can't continue like this. Today, this thing must end. We must reward him. But that reward would have come since. But it was delayed. Please, brethren, we must be spiritually intelligent. There's what they call spiritual intelligence. We must learn this. That the God that you serve is good. The problem is not on God's side. The problem is that the man that God inspired to bless you refuted. And you must put pressure on that person. God will not come down to bless you. He uses man as an agent of blessings. Are you following me now? But the point is that that man can be hardened. Those are the Pharaoh generation. So that every time you are asking, is God not answering my prayer? I've just answered you. Some of us, we have those questions in our hearts. We can't ask them. And so while I was in prayers today, in my meditation, it was coming. It was coming. I said I was going to address that. So there's what we call supplication. The point is, if you keep mute, the situation can remain for 5 years. Are you following me now? Yeah. So you must learn how to put pressure on your helpers. Pressure. Serious pressures at that. So when you are praying, you must also learn intelligent prayers. How to pray intelligent prayers. Said I was going to do this in 10 minutes. Let's start with this, because I feel like maybe this is going to be a topic on its own, because some of us, we don't even know how to pray and strike chords. We just pray anyhow. We pray shadow boxing. We are not striking any chord. We don't know when to talk to God, when to talk to men, and when to talk to the devil. Okay, you were there, right? I was teaching about this. That you are not a complete believer if you only know how to talk to God, how to speak to men, and you don't know how to speak to the devil. You are not complete. Hallelujah. Let me explain that to you. You know Moses back? Moses understood how to speak to God, right? He understood how to speak to this congregation, the Israeli congregation. Much more, he also understood how to speak to Pharaoh, the devil. So the Bible says to us that if you shall say to this mountain, that you must learn how to confront your troubles, how to confront the devil. Listen, there are times that what belongs to you, the devil is holding it like this. He's holding it and he's caught. You must learn how to tell him that you have to drop what belongs to me. These are the things that you learn in prayers. You learn them. Intelligent prayers. Not just praying anyhow without striking a chord. You know what exactly to speak to. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Alright, I think we have to do a teaching on this. So that I'll be more explicit. Is that okay? We have a lot pending. A lot. I don't know how we are going to start speaking these topics one after the other. Okay. So let's begin today's meeting. Alright, so we are looking at living the supernatural. And I said I was going to begin from the basics, from the foundational level. Alright? And I like us to pay rapt attention. You see, one thing that you must begin to notice in the last few years is the rate at which the world is evolving. The rate at which the world is what? Evolving. There is a facelift. There is a change at which things are operated. Not because some of these things have not been in place, but in the past few years, and even the days that we are in, and the days to come, we have seen some of these things more and more amplified. The world is revolving, the world is revolutionizing, the world is evolving. And so you see that a whole lot is happening. We are seeing on the surface that things are shifting. That's how we hear things like artificial intelligence. We hear things like genetic modification, where you force the nature of species to change. Are you following me now? There were times that until you wait for tomatoes to ripe, you cannot have them. But in these days, you can make them ripe on time. You don't understand. Maybe you are not moving with the tide of things, so you don't know what is happening. You can force tomatoes to be ripe on time. Right? They are changing. It's called genetic modification. Genetic re-engineering. Artificial intelligence. Robotic engineering. In some countries now, as we speak, robots are being sent on errands. You just hear a knock on your door. Robots, they have become courier services. And when you open your door, you just say, robot say, good afternoon, I come to deliver your package. Are you following me now? And you just receive your package and you go. So because they believe that they are more efficient than man, they believe that a robot is faster than a man. So things are evolving. Change everywhere. There's something they are gradually coming into. Even the natural world, science, they are aware that there's something beyond this realm. They are aware that there's something called the supernatural dimension. Unfortunately, you see them delving more into more of these things. You even see demoniac expressing this kind of negative supernatural. And all we are doing as Christians is just to learn, is just to hear, and we don't see the replica of what Jesus came to live, came to demonstrate, came to reveal. We are not replicating them. And Jesus said a word very striking when he walked the earth. He says, those who believe in me, the works that I do, they will do. And he didn't stop there. And he says, greater works than these shall they do also. Greater works than these. Unfortunately, what he did, our expression of them is still at the minimal level. Talk less of doing the things that is greater than what he did. So we have to check our Christian experience to be sure that we are truly living Christ. It's the truth. Because the days are approaching where we are going to rely maximally on only the supernatural. Only. Those days are knocking on us. In those days, you will know that it's not just talking about not living sinfully. That would be babyhood Christianity. It's that we come to a place that you have touched depth in God, that you have touched dimensions in God, that sin becomes, it becomes what you don't even think about. Are you following me now? It becomes what is subservient, what is underneath your feet. You are reaching out onto the depths in God where you can touch possibilities. The real world is calling us. Where we truly belong is beckoning on us. And so we must begin to press in. Because of the days that are ahead of us, we must begin to press in. Let me read what a popular prophet in the U.S. said. The world is approaching an era of supernatural awareness, fortune telling, telepathic communication, palmistry. You know what palmistry is? Those who read the palms, right? Now, many of us, maybe because we are not exposed, you will know the reason why people are no longer interested in Christianity. Because there are alternatives. So rather than me going to sit down for teaching of 2 hours, I will visit an herbalist that will show me my future. That by just reading the lines upon my palms, it can tell me what will happen tomorrow. There are a lot of alternatives. A lot. How do you prove that you are a true Christian? Is that you don't just only talk. We see the demonstration of your utterances. We see the life of Jesus at work in you. We were saying humorously one day here that if you go to maybe China or India, you see, what you call the supernatural, they don't need to be a Christian to demonstrate it. You just go to visit somebody in his house, and as you open the door, you saw the person levitated. You will run back. The person is floating in the air. And that's the demonic side of that operation. These things are being replicated, are being amplified everywhere. So people prefer to go to where they can see things, because the truth is, men also want to see. If they don't see, they won't believe. Is that true? So the world is gradually coming to the full awareness of what the other side is, what the supernatural is. So you see, all of these things, telepathic communication, heart-to-heart communication, those who read the art, stargazers, necromancers, they are gradually spreading across the landscape. It didn't begin in our time. It began with, even in the Bible days, we saw them at Babylon. Is that true? Nebuchadnezzar. A time came that he beckoned on them to tell him of his dreams and the interpretation thereof. And they confessed by themselves that it is only in the words of gods that that reality can be done. Is that true? They said only gods can reveal to you your dreams and the interpretation thereof. And so Daniel came into the class of gods
So much so that he had authority, he had ranking over stargazers, over necromancers, over astrologers. And they reckoned with his God. A decree even went out that in this land, only the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should be served. Is that true? That's showing the superior dimension of supernatural power. The superior, the devil has masqueraded like the real. But it's not meant for him. There's been manipulation of all kinds in the demonic realm. But the days that are upon us are the days of the saints, where the saints will reveal, where the saints will demonstrate all that God has locked up on their inside. Because the Bible says was that the creature, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God. If the world, if the creature, if they don't see us as real, they will prefer alternatives. Do we agree? Yes, they will. We blame people that they go to herbalists. But what have you done to salvage their going? What is the remedy? Can they find an alternative in us? Are you following me now? They come to you as a man of God. You don't have enough resources to provide for all that they demand. And they find that thing in an herbalist. Who should they prefer? Are you getting it now? See somebody who has been looking for the fruit of the womb for 25 years, 30 years. He was prayed for nothing. She was prayed for nothing happened. And the day the person visited herbalist. So we are. He said, that one is in our custody. We know how to make it happen. Say, go back home. Take this, take that. And after 1 week, the person conceived. Who should they praise? No, wait. Let's be realistic with ourselves. No, I'm talking reality. We are talking practical things here. Who should they give glory to? And because Christians, we are now lopsided. There's laxity on our side. We are not pressing into God as much as we should. We don't sustain consistent fellowship life by which our words can become a signature in the spirit, can become authority in God. Are we getting this? Horoscope predictions and other paranormal activities are experiencing a revival of popularity. This is said by Larry Randolph. I'm sure you should know, some of you should know him. He's a popular prophet in the US. They are becoming popular. Why do you think that in the Western world, religious activities, especially in the Christendom, is at a minimal level? You go from here to that place, if you are not careful, your spiritual life will drain. Because how do you do service in 1 hour? Are you following me now? That all that you are going to do, and as you are leaving service, you are going to walk. Why? Because you are going to pay bills. You don't have a sustained prayer life. That's the environment that you are living in. That's the atmosphere governing that area. You just notice that. I was speaking with someone very recently. This person, before the person left Nigeria, the person will not be listening. Before she left, she was doing fine. And so recently, when we spoke over the phone, our tone already changed. I know this person very well. We were praying together. We grew together. I tell you the truth. In my days on campus, in fact, I don't want to tell you, some people here might know the person. So let me just keep it. My wife already knows. Are you following me now? I began to hear her choice of words, and she was reluctant to pick my call. So when she eventually picked, I said, why don't you want to present? It's because I'm speaking with pastor. This atmosphere, the songs we are listening to. I said, I was wondering, am I speaking with the same person or another person? Are you following me now? So I said, how far with church? I said, I'm done with that church thing. So I just stay online. I said, hey? That's the exact word. I'm done with that church thing. So I just follow online. No, it's atmosphere. Atmosphere. I know that you are making mouth. I know. Don't worry. Just. Amen. You will discover how atmospheres can easily rub off on you. Atmospheres. Western world. Am I saying there are people there who are not, there are not people there who are doing fine spiritually? People are there who are doing fine. But the percentage is minute. That's the truth. Because the truth is, what word do you want to listen to in 1 week? That all they do to you as a teaching in a week is just 30 minutes. You are listening to teachings of 3 hours, 4 hours. You are still struggling. Are you following me now? How much more than all that you are downloading in a week? Because many of them is just Sunday service. Those in Dubai on Friday, they just go in 1 hour, 30 minutes, they are through. That's the only day you can worship. On Friday. You know the truth? Many of them, they have alternatives. That's the truth. So for some, God is second option. You are not aware of that. Hallelujah. You know, herbalism now is now packaged. They say shadow medical. They now put medical. Now, what's your profession? I'm a shadow medicalist. Practitioner. Shadow medical practitioner. Amen. That's the packaging now. Glory to God. Even young people, they are doing it now. Are you aware of that? Young people. They have rings that protect them. You are using wedding ring. They are using protective ring. There's one they call follow. But you don't have to go and woo a woman. Once you wear that ring and you touch, follow me. Amen. You don't have to woo. You are wasting your time saying, sister, and the lady is delaying for 1 year. You don't need that one. Just buy a ring. You don't see all those advertisements.
follow ring. Hallelujah. The devil is in trouble. And it's now becoming popular. It's becoming more popular. The point I'm trying to make is that there's now insight into the supernatural, either divine or demonic. That's my point. Is that people are now coming to the awareness that there's something beyond this realm. They are coming to the awareness that there's something beyond the natural, that we are bigger than this, either divine or demonic. Yes, the awareness is now becoming so alarming that men want to touch things. Somebody wants to disappear. We're on campus, in my secondary school. One of our guys, we call him Awilo. The guy, have I shared it before? Okay. Oh, beautiful. Hallelujah. This guy, what am I saying on campus? He was terrible. He came to a point that he had a charm that if he's running towards a wall, even if it's a small space within the wall, he will enter. I tell you the truth, these are not the things, they were things that we saw. All he needs, or all he needed in those days, was just an opening, just more opening. If you are pursuing him from anywhere, so long as he finds an opening in a wall, he will enter. And that's the end. You can't find him again. I remember those days, TBK and one guy was fighting. He held a ring. Hallelujah. When he blew that guy, my secondary school, before we became missionary, because they took over, missionary took over when we were in GS 3. But in my GS 1 and GS 2, you can go and ask anywhere. Lagos African Church Grammar School, our programs. Terrible. We became tush when pastors took over. He blew the guy. I was seeing for the first time when somebody was just running. You know that blow is different from blow. But it was a ring. Imagine those days. Imagine those days. And the rate at which those things are becoming spreaded. Now, you don't want to visit secondary schools, government schools, even for that matter. I was in those days when I used to do evangelism. I went to my younger brother's school, in secondary school. And so I went to talk with some of those guys, preaching to them. When some of them began to make confessions, one said that there's what he does. Is it Agbaya or something? I forgot the name. That every time he uses that thing, if you want to see him like this, he will just disappear. Maybe I fell here. Young boy, you know, I was opening my mouth. Young, small boys, they did all kinds of things. They were confessing. You know, when I began to lead them to Christ, they were confessing many of those things. So the rate at which the supernatural is being exposed is terrible. So people have alternatives to praying. They have alternatives to listening to God's word. To them, those ones take time. Some even say that God is slow. Isn't it? Some of you are testifiers here. The way you are doing, that's you are saying my mind. Hallelujah. That God is slow. Are you following me now? Glory to God. So we are in the days that we need to press in. I like you to know that. I like you to listen to me. That in this realm, nobody thrives, nobody arrives without a spiritual backup. Nobody. Anywhere. Go to the musical industry, go to the entertainment industry. Nobody. People know that there's an advantage. That when they reach out to that advantage, they will arrive at the top. Politicians know them. They know these things. That you want to gain a chieftaincy title. You don't do it with the ordinary high. There's something you must do that makes for that position. You cannot sacrifice it, then you are gone. There are people who can sacrifice and they will arrive at that throne on the basis of their sacrifice. They don't care if it takes 7 heads to arrive. They will look for young virgins, chaste ones, to ensure that they arrive. People are aware that there's an advantage in the other world. They are aware. Not only spiritual people, demonic people are aware. In fact, they are all spiritualists. One is divine, one is demonic. One is negative, one is positive. But every one of them is spiritual. They are aware. So you must understand that you must reach out to your own advantage in Christ. The superior dimension of advantage is only factored within the economy of Jesus. That's the way you can swallow the demonic. You can swallow externalities. That's the advantage that we have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No one comes into limelight or into spotlight without a supernatural aid. No one comes into limelight or into spotlight without a supernatural aid. Please let that enter into you. Let it enter into you. That nobody comes into spotlight or limelight without a supernatural support, a supernatural aid. Everyone that you see at the top today, something backed them. Everyone. Not necessarily the positive supernatural. But the point is, they arrived by the supernatural, even though it was negative. Glory to God. The supernatural is the believer's heritage. And we must plunge into this advantage that we have in God. The supernatural is the believer's heritage. And we must plunge into this advantage that we have in God. It's our heritage, it's our inheritance. And we must plunge into it. We must contend for it. Hear me very clearly. That something is your heritage does not automatically mean that you are going to enter into it. There are times that inheritances are contended for before you receive them. Hello, please pay attention. There are times that what belongs to you, if you do not contend for them, you can't have them. Even though they are yours by right, by privilege, by inheritance. But if you refuse to make contentions for them, you will see them go down the drain or someone else using them, even in your presence. And yet it belongs to you. That's why I said we must
plunge into it. Deuteronomy, one scripture that changed my life, 2:24. It says, behold, I have given you Sion, the king of Ishbon, and all his inheritance, right? He said, begin to contend for it in battle. Begin to contend. Please let me open that place. I love it so much. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sion, the Amorite, king of Ishbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Contend. I have given you. How do you say that you gave me something and you say that to have that thing I have to contend? So why did you give me? It is mine. And you said for me to take the possession of it, I have to contend. Just like I said to you that, Debbie, I procured a machine for you. Alright? You were not there when I procured it. Are you following me now? And so, I told you the address of the place. I said, go and redeem it. And as you were going, you got there. You said you came here to pick up your machine that I procured for you. Alright? But the truth is, the machine will not be given to you, though it is yours. But they will make demand on the receipt. Until you place the receipt before them, that's when they hand it over to you. Do you understand it? That I bought it for you does not mean that you can redeem it, except you present the receipt that makes for the redeeming. Are you following me now? So that's the same vein. In the same vein, there are things that belong to you that you must, without contention, there's no possession. Without contention, there's no possession. What we preach, new creation reality, is beautiful, is amazing, but we keep saying it, that we preach it from the standpoint of balance. Else, you just be hearing theories, and your life is stuck. See, all things belong to you. You have all things. Everything, is that true? And I was asking you a question some days ago, that do you truly have all things? You have it, right? No. According to scriptures, you have all things, right? So why don't you have everything physically? Say, my God shall supply all your needs according to Jesus in glory. But do you have needs? But I thought you are supplied. You don't understand this. You just be quoting scriptures. Please, I was saying it earlier on that we have to be intelligent. Spiritual intelligence is a great deal. The supernatural is our heritage. And I said we must begin to plunge into it. But you must learn the mystery of contention. How to lay hold. Why do we have to go through all the exercise that Apostle Paul, the principle of new creation reality? Many of the things that he was saying. Why do you think he had to talk about lambano, catalambano, that sees it by force? Lay hold on it by force. Do you understand it? He knows that it's not what you just get automatically. There are things that you ought to do to lay hold, to receive it, to seize it, so that it becomes yours experientially. Those words were not there for fun. Lambano it. You don't do that, you don't have it.
Are we getting blessed?
All right. I think I posted this, what C.S. Lewis said. But let me read it again. If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Do you get that? If I find in myself desires that this natural world cannot meet, desires that this realm cannot meet, it means that I am more than this realm. It means that there's another world that actually satisfies my desires. Is that true? There's another world. Sometimes we also feel like that. As believers, we feel that we are bigger than this. We feel that, no, there are, sometimes you want to pray, there are limitations in the flesh. But you have this thing somewhere around you that I am bigger than this. This is one of the reasons why some of us, when you enter into experiences, you see yourself in a world beyond. You begin to notice that this earth realm is not it. It's just a place of execution. There's the real place that we belong, where our desires are truly met, where our desires are truly satisfied. That's what he's trying to explain. It's the other world. The world of the spirit. The realm of God. Hallelujah. Rick Joyner says, the day of supernatural neutrality is over. The day of supernatural neutrality is over. It means that when it comes to supernatural, you can't be neutral. You can't. You are either on this side or the other side. No, there's no neutrality that I'm on the fence. I am indifferent. No, it's not possible. It is either a spiritual environment that is divine is controlling you, or a demonic environment is controlling you. You can't be neutral. You can't. You can't be neutral. So we are going to begin our meeting today. I just did all of those to whet our appetite. I'm serious. So we are beginning our anchor scripture for today is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, let's begin. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Oh, glory to God. We are going to be blessed tonight. Yeah. We are going to be blessed. I believe so strongly. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Right? That's our anchor scripture. We are looking at the word new. This word is what I want to emphasize on. The word new. Because what we are looking at is living the supernatural. And there's the origin of that life. So the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you are writing, the word new there is the word kainos. Kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. The word new is the word kainos.
I think we have to write a lot if you are going to follow this teaching. So it says that, beautiful, you can see that. It says that we are kindness beings. Everyone who comes into Jesus, the Bible says to us that we became a kindness creature. We became a new creature. You wouldn't understand that until we begin to investigate what kindness truly means. That's when you will understand this. You see, we have not been taught the implication of the newness in Christ, the implication of our kindness existence or experience in Christ. When we understand this, you will truly know that you are not just human. You are a spiritual estate. You are a spiritual reality. Are you following me now? I would have said that you are a spirit, but in the real sense, you are not. Just like angels and God, their own makeup is spirit. Alright? But we are not spirit in that sense. We are spiritual. Are you following it? We are spiritual. So, when we came into Christ, if any man be in Christ, in fact, one version that be, he said that man is in a new world. If any man is in Christ, he is in a new world. Aye. Beautiful. So, if any man is in Christ, he is in a new world. The word new world means that this world has never existed before. It's a new place. It's a new environment. No record of this world. He is in a new world. He is a kindness being, a kindness creation. Any man that's in Christ is a new creation. So we are going to investigate the word kindness. Is that word that we truly need today? The word kindness. I've been saying this before, but not taking my time to explain to you. Is that true? You have heard me say kindness, but I've not taken. But today, we want to investigate it. We want to look into it very deeply and to understand the implication of our engraftment into Christ. That we were grafted into Him. Is an agricultural register. Engrafting is an agricultural register that you are grafted. How that you can join two plants together and they begin to grow together. That's grafting. At least my brother is confirming it. Are you following now? Grafting. Glory to God. All right, if you are writing. Kainos is known as new, but not just new in the sense of replacement theory. Kainos is known as new, but not just new in the sense of replacement theory or upgraded technology. Just like our smartphones. Kainos is known as new, but not just new in the sense of replacement theory or upgraded technology, just like our smartphones. Alright, so we have heard the word new, kainos. Alright? Kainos is new actually, but not in the sense of replacement. Like the life of Adam or the upgraded life of Adam. No. What Christ came to do was not to improve on the life of Adam,
Please pay attention. It was not to upgrade the life of Adam. Say this OS is 2007. Let's upgrade it to 2009. No, it didn't come to do that. So we are not the improved life of Adam. We are not the replacement or the upgraded life of Adam. No. When the Bible talks about kainos, it talks about a new environment entirely, such that the life of Adam, the life he lived, was totally obliterated, totally destroyed, in order that he will start a new order. A new order. So when you hear the new creation is not the existence or the existing life. No, it's a new kind of life. It's a new species, a new ecosystem, a fresh habitat, a new environment entirely. The Bible calls it a new world. Strong's dictionary defines kainos. Let's look at some of the things that it says about kainos. A new kind, that's number one. Unprecedented, number two. Novel or novel, anyone that you like. Number three. Number four, uncommon. Number five, unheard of. A new kind, unprecedented, novel, uncommon, unheard of. Are you seeing those words? A new kind. A new kind. See, the language of kind, I'm sure you are aware, that is different from type. Kind and type, they are different things. The word kind is the same thing that the Bible calls about everything was created after its own kind. So that if a dog gave birth, it will give birth to a dog. Everything after its own kind. So man, after the kind of the creator. Are you following me now? Man, after who? The kind of the creator. That's the language of image and the likeness of God. That you are after his kind. It means that you are the extension of God. You are in that similitude. You are in that exactness. You know, the same way the Bible calls Jesus the exact image of God. The exact image of God. That's the language of kind, after his own kind. Says a new kind. Never existed before. But the word we want to use here is the word unprecedented. I love that. If you are right and right. Unprecedented. The word unprecedented means, the word unprecedented means without previous instance. Oh God. This was found from dictionary.com. Without previous instance, never before known or experienced. Without previous instance, never before known or experienced, unexampled, or unparalleled. Unexampled and unparalleled. So it means that the example of this being has never been. This being was not known before in all of creation. He has never existed before. He's a new kind. He is unprecedented. So it was not an, it's not a new being. to improve on Adam. It was that when we received Christ, that what you call Adam was put into a place of death. Adam died. Are you following me now? Adam did what? Died. God started a new order. A new being emerged. A supernatural being emerged. Hear this, if you are writing. This being has never existed before. Even Adam, before the fall, can't be compared to what we became at new birth and what we are becoming. This being has never existed before. Even Adam, before the fall, can't be compared to what we became at new birth and what we are becoming. The point is, if Adam was opportune to see us, alright, you'll be confused at the kind of creature that we are. Are you getting it? He will be confused. Because this is a new order. Let me read what Vine's Biblical Dictionary defines kainos as. Vine's Biblical Dictionary. Vine's Biblical Dictionary. It defines kainos as new as to form. New as to form or quality. New as to form or quality. Of different nature from what is contrasted as old. New as to form or quality of different nature from what is contrasted as old. New as to form or quality of different nature from what is contrasted as old. So it means that this being is new. Is new in form. You know the word form. Is new in quality. Is a different nature as contrasted to the old, is in contrast to the old life. Are you getting this? Let me bring it down. And let me drive it home. The word kainos is immortal. It's the word eternal life. Eternal life. That's what came on our inside. Eternal life. So the Bible calls it new. A new creature. Kainos. Please let me display. 1 Peter Amplified, please. Amplified version. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Please, you will help me look up. 1 Peter 1 verse 23 in Amplified version. This blew me up. I'm telling you, I saw it for the first time. My God. Verse 23. Now, please look up. For you have been born again. Hi. You know the word new there? If any man be in Christ is a new creature, right? That means you are born again. For if you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable. This is not amplified. It's not. Is it?
Okay, it is. Yes, I've seen it. All right. I've seen the word I'm looking for. Not of seed, which is perishable. Right? But that which is imperishable and immortal. That is, through the living and everlasting word of God. Right? I'm coming. Please give me a few minutes. Is that amplified? Let me see. I'm looking for a word where it says spam. Yes. I know this is not I. Verse, you have been beautiful. This is the amplifier that I have. You have been regenerated, that means born again, not from a mortal origin. Sir, this thing blew me up. I began to know my reality. Not from a mortal origin, and in parenthesis, not seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever living and lasting word of God. So how were we born again? Not from mortality, not by the spermatozoa of a man or the egg of a woman. That tethered towards mortality, towards norms, towards the natural, towards physicality. He said that the way we are born again is from an immortal origin. And one of the ways that we know what we call immortal is that it is ever living and everlasting. Now look at how we are born again. We are born again through this immortal, that is through the living and everlasting word of God. Everlasting word of God. It means that my born again experience, your born again experience, took a redress into the exact way that Jesus was born. The same way that Angel Gabriel says that the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. When you said yes to Jesus, that was the exact thing that happened to you. Because Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. And when that happened, Mary conceived. Right? And it says to us that we are also born through the living and everlasting word of God. Word of God. That's why when you became born again, one of the criteria is that you must speak it. Right? With your mouth, you make confession unto salvation. You have to say it. Because that's the word that the Holy Ghost tabernacles. You see, the Holy Ghost was waiting for Mary to acknowledge what they came to market to her. And how will she acknowledge it? By saying it. So when she said, be it unto me according to your word, the Holy Ghost took on that word and implanted a supernatural seed into her. Are you following me now? That was why, even though Jesus died bodily, his soul could not stay in hell. Do you understand it? Thou will not suffer thy only one to see corruption, right? And my soul to be in hell. There was no way, because he was from an immortal origin. His body could die, but his spirit could not die. Do we understand this? So the word kainos is eternal life.
So that the same way that Jesus could live above sin, you now have that same reality on your inside. You could say no to sin. The same way that Jesus could live without sickness, without disease, you also have the same reality on your inside. You have the capacity to live above sin, to live above diseases, to live above sicknesses. That you are not at any form of disadvantage. Kainos being. We are from an immortal origin. We are from the origin of the Spirit. That's how we were born again. The Bible says we are born from above, right? The word born again is the word born from above. I've taught you that before. Born from above. The again there was supplied. The real word is born from above. Whosoever is born from above is above all. Are we together? Kainos is God's DNA. Kainos is God's DNA. I'm sure you know what DNA is. I know many of us, we used to hear it, but we don't truly know the meaning. Hallelujah. Say, I have the DNA of God. Deoxyribonucleic acid. Can somebody pronounce that? Eh? Talk confidently now. Say confidently. Why do you think that if they want to know if you are the legitimate father of a child, what they ask for is DNA test? Say, let's go do DNA test. Are you following me now? So, it means that if you are my child, for instance, when they do your DNA test and they do mine, there must be a correlation. They can trace all of me into you. Are you following me now? They can trace all of me into you. All of me can be identified by just checking the DNA. So when we say that we carry the DNA of God, it means that all that is in God is now in us. Do you understand it? Of course, you know there are exclusivities because of his sovereignty, because of his potency or omnipresence capacity. So there are exclusivities. You are not sharing all of those ones because you can't be in multiple places at once. Are you following me now? So, because you have to clear it. But you don't say that I'm the God they are looking for, I'm the one. There's one man along Ibadan Express Road that said, the God they are looking for, that is the one. No, you are the one who talked. I didn't say that. Amen. They talked about death. He said, he will never die. So he said, 500 years is too small. We are still waiting. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's God's DNA. Are you following me now? Kainos. Kainos is a fresh and new being that supersedes and also eclipses what existed before. Eclipse is E-C-L-I-P-S-E. So I don't write E-class. Glory to God. Did you get that or I should come again? Or I say, Kainos is a fresh and new being that supersedes and eclipses
what existed before that supersedes and eclipses what existed before. It is an order beyond the limitation of earthly life. It is an order beyond the limitation of earthly life. It is an order beyond the limitation of earthly life. So the new creation life is an order that supersedes the earthly limitations. In this realm, we are limited beings. That's the truth. Why? Because we are wearing this garment called the body. It makes us limited. But there is a life on our inside that is unlimited. So this life supersedes and eclipses the order of mortality, the order of naturality. That's the life that we received at new birth. It's a new life, a fresh layer of life. It's a life that has been immersed into the burning layers of the divine. Immersed. A life that has been dipped. A life that has been baptized into divinity. Are you following me now? A life immersed into the burning layers of the divine. A life that has been baptized into divinity. Kainos. So that, you see, that life, Kainos, is a life that is only known, listen, after the spirit, not after the flesh. The Kainos life is a life that is only known after the spirit, not after the flesh. Please help me with 2 Corinthians 5:16. 5:16. Now listen to me. Let's see this. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. The next thing you saw is, therefore, if any man, that's a continuation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation, right? So the Kainos life is not a life that is known after the flesh. It's a life that is known after the spirit. That's why we were born of the spirit. We were born by the spirit. Hallelujah. If you have message, do you have message? Let's read this in message. Thank you, Lord. The verse 16 in message version. You know we are doing Bible study, but we are not in a hurry. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. That means when they were looking at Jesus, they saw him wore jalamia. Say this one. He was born in the manger. Say this one. How can this one be the Messiah we are waiting for? They said they once acknowledged the Messiah like that, but not so anymore. We looked at the Messiah like that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now, where do we look into? We look inside. Hey, what is that inside? Kainos, the life of God. And this is the record or the testimony that God
has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that does not have the Son does not have life. Now we look inside. Where do we look to? Inside. So it means that what regulates you is what is on your inside. The life within determines the output of your life. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. Hallelujah. It's going to other verses. Are we getting it now? He that is united with God gets a fresh start, a fresh one. This is the point. When you came into Christ, your old life, right, was cleared off. Everything. You have a new beginning. I'm telling you about spiritual things. I'm not telling you about application now. Hello? Are you getting it now? When you came into Christ, you became a fresh, a new layer of being, that your old records were gone. That's spiritually speaking, legally speaking. But when it comes to application, your old records can decide to want to peek into your new life. But on the basis of your new nature in Christ, you can say to that old record that you are gone already. You can't come back again. The same way that you can be healed and the sickness will want to come back. Do you understand it? So even though your old record was cleared when you got born again, they also want to come back. You are the one not to take a stand against them. I said, this one, no, this pattern in my family, according to my new nature in Christ, you are gone already. But you want to come back, you can't come back. You exert your new nature as against that error. You exert the revelation of Jesus. You superimpose that revelation upon your old patterns, your old record that want to catch up with you. Are you getting this? Please, we need to understand this. Your new life took care of causes, took care of diseases, took care of all of those things. But the point is, the adversary that we serve, the adversary that is moving around, right? Is, I wrote it on my status one day. I said, it was you who got born again. The devil didn't get born again. I think you need to hear this. Witches and wizards, they didn't get born again. You only got born again. You. They are not born again. And so, they are all out to ensure that you fall, that you fail, that you flop. So how do you as a believer live your life? You live your life enforcing your identity in Christ, enforcing the revelation of Christ on your inside, enforcing what Christ has done on the cross. You are enforcing them, ensuring that they come to reality, that they become applicable, that they manifest. Hallelujah. So all of these things, how do we walk in them? It's simple. We walk into them by faith. As simple as that. By faith. You were saved by grace through faith. And you live your life by faith, not by sight. Right? But there's something I must show you. And that will be of utmost importance in our journey. If you are writing, please write this down. The visible world is just one layer of reality. The visible world is just one layer of reality. The visible world is just one layer of reality. Behind this sin layer, is the hidden real world. The visible world is just one layer of reality. Behind this sin layer is the hidden real world that governs and shapes that world. The visible world is just one layer of reality. Behind this sin layer is the hidden real world that governs and shapes that world. And the real world is Zion, or heavenly realms. Oh, thank you, Lord. And the real world is what? Zion, or heavenly realms. Now, do you understand what I just read to us? That this visible world that we are in is a layer of reality. Okay? It's a layer. Behind this visible world is an hidden world. And that hidden world is what actually rules this world, what governs this world, what gives this world shape. And so I call that world Zion, or the heavenly realms. So all of these things that I pre-informed us about our reality in Christ Jesus, if we are going to see them manifest by faith, we must learn how to bring administration from the hidden world into the visible world. That means we must learn how to live from the invisible into the visible. We must learn how to trap things from the hidden world into the world that we are in, from the real world into this physical dimension. It's important we learn this. I told us that the world that we are in is the world of limitation. We have limitation here because of our bodily gateways. But there's an advantage that we have, is that the man in Christ simultaneously lives in the spirit and also lives in the physical world. He does business both spiritually and physically. With his spirit, he makes contact with God, and with his body, he makes contact with the physical world. But how does the spiritual man live? How does the supernatural man live? He lives by the life beyond. He lives by the life that is in the hidden world, the world that is invisible. That's where the default of his life is. If he does not understand how to live from that realm into this place, you will discover that that man will be subservient to earthly vicissitudes. The same thing that plagues the man who lives in the earth will also plague him. Even though he's born again, even though he's spiritual, if he does not understand how to live from the invisible dimension into the visible realm, you will see that the same way that people are plagued with sicknesses and diseases, even though he's born again, he will also fetch from that. Why? Because he doesn't understand how to trap from his economy, from the real world, from whence he was birthed. The way that God designed that we live by default is that we live from Zion. We live by the Spirit. We live from the realm beyond. We are not designed to live from the earth. We are designed to live from top downward. In economics, they call it top-bottom. Not bottom-top. Are you following me now? You don't understand this. You will live as alien. So we must learn the culture of living from Zion. The culture of living in the Spirit. Is it clear to us now? The new creation live entangled into heaven. We are entangled. The new creation live entangled into heaven. So we are always there and on earth simultaneously. We are in the Spirit and we are on earth simultaneously. Are you following me now? At new birth, this is what happened to us. In fact, sometimes you can unplug from this earth realm into the Spirit. You can unplug. That's what John the Beloved calls, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." That means he unplugged. So much so that his entirety was now entangled into the heavenly realms. So the new creation lives entangled. He lives in the Spirit and at the same time lives in the earth. But the design is that man becomes a slave to this life in the Spirit. That the way you live is that you live from the spiritual standpoint. You download things from the spiritual realm into the natural, not vice versa. The way many of us are living in our day is that we are living by our natural inclination. We don't check the standpoint of God even in situations about our lives. We give them natural interpretation as against the design of God that we must fetch in the Spirit. Our compass, our navigational system must be in the Spirit. That there's, you see, every time you do things that does not have its predicate in the Spirit, you are on your own. You are on your own. There are people who just take decisions anyhow. We don't know what God is saying. We don't know what is happening in the Spirit. Meanwhile, the default of our life is in the Spirit. It's one of the reasons why the Lord gave us several strategies by which we can traffic possibilities in the Spirit. One of such is prayers. That we make our ways into the Spirit by the technology of prayers. To understand the mind of God as touching matters and situations. That there are no decisions you just take based on carnality. That you find your way into the Spirit to make inquiries. to make inquiries. The supernatural life is a life enraptured in the possibilities of God. And one of such ways by which you traffic things in the spirit is through the window of prayers. You travel. I'm still going to show us this. Aye. Thank you, Lord. The man in Christ lives with the consciousness of our spiritual estate, where we belong in Zion. Please quickly give me Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Let me try to spend a little time. And you also help me prepare John 3, 12 and 3. But let's do Colossians 3 first. Now listen. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Listen, let me say this to you so that it can be clear. See, our living, your finances, your marital life, your day-to-day decisions, they are under the influence of all I'm teaching. The problem is that many of us, we are lazy. We don't know how to plug into God to begin to know how to order our finances, how to order our lives. So, for some of us who teach like this, it's not that we don't understand that you need finances, but we are showing you where your life is from. When you understand where your life is from, your finances will be met. Your business will thrive because you will receive order. The Bible says, if you walk, you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way, walk therein. So you might not even have to learn 48 laws of success. Alright? When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, by default, it defines what success is. It defines how you live your life. It tells you what business to take and what not to take. They can't teach you that in the outer world. Only the spirit has that kind of capacity. God knows when there was going to be famine, and he informed the king. Is that true? But that revelation was bleak to the king because he is not within the civilization of the spirit. He had to beckon on somebody who knows how to traffic in the spirit to download the mind of God. And the only person that was found was a man in whom the Spirit of God is, who is discreet in all his decisions. And they beckoned on Joseph. By the time Joseph trapped the possibilities of God, he said, this is the revelation of... That was economics. He was entering into the financial layer of Egypt. Are you following me now? Into the financial constitution, the program of God for their finances. And he said, this is 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Joseph didn't study anything on finance. But on the basis of his fraternity with God, God was teaching him about the year of famine and the year of plenty. Are you following me now? You see, our spirit needs to be robust for us to be able to trap everything that concerns our life. When you have an accurate relationship with God, every other area of your life will be met. You know what decisions to take, when to take them, why you must take them, when not to take them. Our problem is that we are not robust in the spirit. We don't have an accurate fraternity with God. Our relationship with God is at the minutest level. That's the problem. That's why people are running helter-skelter. They want to know how I can save money, how I can do this, as against relationship with God. That's the problem. So you know how to save money, but your relationship with God is tiny. And when you take the operation of God, you will discover that many of the things that we learn in the secular world is not consistent with the ways of God. The secular world tells you to save and save and save. But God says that there is he that scattered it. The secular world told you that when you save, you'll be wealthy, right? But God says that the way you are wealthy in the kingdom is that you give. So, please, who do you trust? Hello, who do you trust? So, will God say you should not save? No. But it's telling you that in this kingdom, it is the liberal soul that is made fat. The liberal soul is made fat. There is one that scattered it, yet he increased it. How come? Cast your bread upon many waters. After many days, you shall find it. How come? Those are mysteries. You can only know that in God. They can't teach you that anywhere else. That's why you must know the way of the Spirit. Just as the bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman, so also is the ways of the Spirit. How do you reconcile that when you scatter, you get increase? When they told you outside that it is when you save that you are increased. Who do you trust? I would rather trust the one who created me. The one who knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. He has the advantage of age more than everybody. That's why it's called the Ancient of Days. And there's he that withhold it more than his meat and tends to poverty. Hey, can we come up? Can we come up? Can we come up? Can we come up? Come up higher. Let's settle these things once and for all. That my resolve is that I will know you. My resolve is that my life will depend on you. Are we together now? I just felt to say this. Because some of us might be having the right, wrong orientation. That when are we going to teach about finances? How can we grow financially? How can our business expand? Alright? You know the way those things will happen? By teaching. By what I'm teaching you. Is that you will know that there is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty. Give it him understanding. That you have the Spirit of God in you, you have understanding. You have understanding. You know when to save, when not to save. You know when to indulge or engage in a business and not when not to. Hallelujah. All right. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Which are above. He says what we should seek. Where our consciousness should be fixated on is above. What's the language above? Our real world, the new world that we are in. He says that's where we should seek. Just about like Abraham, the Bible says to us that he looketh for a city whose builder and maker is God. Even though Abraham was on earth, his gaze was a city that God built. His gaze was a spiritual environment, an expanse, world of the supernatural. Though he walked the earth, But that was where his gaze was. He looked for a city. So in his sojourn on earth, as he was sojourning, he was having a spiritual orientation about where he was heading, though he was on earth. Set your affection on things that are above and not on things that are beneath. That's talking about the natural environment, the mundane, the ephemeral. It says our affection should not be on them. Our affection should be on the things above. That means our thought pattern must be fixated on the environment of the spirit. That means we must constantly focus on God. We must think the things of the spirit. We must think the supernatural. We must think the realm of God. We must think Zion. We must think the realm of the saints. We must think the realm of the spirit of just men made perfect. We must think the realm of angels. That's where our affection is supposed to be tethered towards. That when you sit down, your meditation is on the things above. Your affection, your obsession is on the things in the spirit. That's when you are giving God the government of your life. That's when God becomes the Lord. That's lordship. Lordship. When you begin to think the things above. When you have money, if you think the things of above, the very first thing that comes to your mind is how do I prosper the kingdom? I tell you the truth. If what you first thought was ephemeral, it means that your affection has been far from the things above. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? Because you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Why does your gaze have to be on Christ? Because you are dead. And your life is hid with God and God. With Christ in God. Are you seeing that? Your affection has to be on the things above. There were things that when we were trusting God for them, on top of our list, we said to the Lord as a family that, Lord, we need this because of your kingdom. Because of your kingdom. That's the priority. Kingdom-mindedness, kingdom orientation. Many of us now, we do things not thinking the kingdom first. That's why you have businesses and does not communicate the kingdom of God. Because all you thought is that business should just, it should just be for your ends meet. How to eat, how to sup. With the oversight of the kingdom. Say, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated. If you want to live the life of the supernatural, these things have to totally paint your consciousness. It has to be the priority, what you place premium on in your thoughts, in your heart. Many of us, if you don't understand this, you will hear the supernatural, but you will not replicate it. That the kingdom must be at the forefront, at the cutting edge of your heart. Everything about you, the kingdom. Why do you have to have money? The kingdom. Why do you want to give birth? The kingdom. that this one is going to profit your kingdom. Not so that they can say that you two, you are not married. Why are you married? The kingdom. John's Gospel. Oh, yeah. Yes, there are a few persons who are going back home. Right? Oh, Mixela. John 3, 12 and 13. Now, hear the communication of Jesus. Jesus saying to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. What Jesus is doing here is amazing. He's trying to upgrade the consciousness of the one he was communicating to. Because the one who came to him, if you read verse 1, 2 and 3 and the likes, he says that no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. Right? And Jesus began to communicate with him about the reality of being born again or being born from above. Alright, Jesus was bringing him to a point that is trying to get rid of carnality. He's trying to show him that there's another world beyond this world that you are in, Nicodemus. So that was why I was saying, if I have told you of heavenly things and you do not believe, of earthly things, what if I now tell you of heavenly things? Confusion came. The theology, the orientation of Nicodemus changed. Especially when he heard Jesus. Nicodemus understood what Jesus was saying when he said this. Because Jesus will not communicate with you and you don't understand. It's not with ambiguity. He communicates in simple terms. So when Nicodemus heard this verse 13, he knew what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came from heaven. Who came from heaven? Jesus. But when he was talking, he was on the earth. And he says to Nicodemus, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, not which was in heaven. So Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, invariably, that as I'm talking to you, my operative system is from heaven. I am on earth, but I'm in heaven. Because it says, which is in heaven. So Jesus says, as I'm talking to you presently, I am speaking from heaven, even though I'm on earth. Give me Amplified. Amplified will explain to you better. Oh, thank you, Lord. John 3:13. I will start from verse 12. Now,
If I have told you of things that happen right here on earth, and yet none of you believes me, how can you believe, trust me, adhere to me, rely on me, if I tell you of heavenly things, and yet no one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who is, in parenthesis, dwells as his home in heaven. So when you hear that we are, heaven is at home in us, it means that we are shifting dimension. Are you following me now? Jesus said that as I'm speaking to you, my dwelling, my home is in heaven. I am on earth, but my operation, my administration is factored in heaven. It is heaven that decides what I do and what I do not. That's why he says that what I see my Father do is what I do. What I hear my Father say is what I say. So Jesus said, I don't make decision on my own. What regulates my living is heaven. Heaven. We live heaven on earth. That the life of God is the one regulating us here. Though we are living here, but we are subservient to heaven's culture. We are subservient to the culture of Zion. For out of Zion cometh the law. Are we together? There's something Jesus understands, is that he understood how to shift dimension. How to shift dimension. From the natural world into the supernatural world. John 17 verse 1. Because that's what is playing out. John 17, 1. Now listen, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You see, what you saw here is a serious matter. You need to understand this phrase, lifted up his eyes. Lifted up his eyes. You would just think that Jesus just lifted up his eyes and did like this. Until you dig deep into what this means. If you are right and right. The phrase, lifted up his eyes, when you dig deeper into the original, literally means Jesus The phrase lifted up his eyes, when you check from the original, literally means Jesus was raised on high. Epairo. That is what it is in Greek. Epairo. E-P-A-I-R-O. Jesus was raised on high to where God dwells. Ouranos, O-U-R-A-N-O-S. Jesus was raised on high, epairo, to where God dwells. So what Jesus said in this place, that he lifted up his eyes, what he actually did was that he shifted dimension. He shifted from the natural world into the spiritual world. He came to where God was, or where God is. Though he was seen on earth, but it was in the dimension of the spirit. That's what we call shifting dimensions. You are shifting realms. It's what everybody must learn. that you are in the earth realm, at the same time you are in the spirit. Your journey is ordered by the spirit. If you have been conscious, you will notice that every time you are journeying, you are walking, the atmosphere and the environment where you live around you also accompanies you. Are you following me now? That's the truth. If you are not conscious, you don't know. Everywhere that you live, everywhere that you go to, the atmosphere and your environment in the spirit follows you. Now, it is now left for you, to know how to shift dimension. That's why it's possible that you are meeting somebody for the first time and you have details about the person. It's because of your atmosphere. All you did was to shift your realm into your real realm, into the real world, undermining this earth possibilities and giving credence to the spiritual realm, where you can pick the details, you can pick information, you have downloads from that realm. Jesus knew that too well. That was what he was doing at the well. Says to the woman to give him water to drink. The woman said, what's the relation between we Jews and the Samaritan? Jesus said, if you know the one who speaks to you, to give him water to drink. If you know him, you can even carry the well and give him. Because him will give you a life that springs onto eternal life. The man was looking at this, like, what are you saying? Said, listen to me. You are married, though. But the problem is that you have issues with men. The woman began to calm down. She was still thinking that Jesus was guessing. Until Jesus said, You are married, you have been married to 5 men. The one that is in your house right now is not your husband. And the woman began to calm down and said, you must be a prophet. That's shifting dimension, shifting realm. Is the supernatural life. This is our reality. But if you don't learn all that I've told you before this time, to operate this realm will not be easy. I'm teaching you practical things. To operate in shifting dimensions, being in two places simultaneously, that you are on earth and you're also in the spirit at the same time. Hallelujah. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify you. You know that all Jesus was doing here is that he was praying. Is that true? He wasn't just talking. He wasn't just talking. Have you read John 17 before? Me, I call it personally the Lord's Prayer. So, before he began praying, he first shifted realm. This same thing was exemplified in, is it Matthew 17 now? Transfiguration. While he began to pray, the fashion of his countenance, he shifted realm. Hallelujah. I don't want. Let me check. Oh. Hallelujah. Okay. No, it's not even that. Amen. Let's close so that we don't get cut off. suddenly. Okay, maybe we'll continue. We'll continue tomorrow. Hallelujah. We'll continue tomorrow. I want this not to be cut off like others. Okay. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Let's do our confession. Let's rise to our feet. A confession. I am in the company of the God class. I live in the supernatural realm. I do things natural supernaturally. And things supernatural naturally. I have rule and authority over sin, death, sickness, and poverty, immortality, and supernaturality are my realities. Even in my mortality, no one can talk me out of the supernatural. I am completely supernatural. Shout, I am complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Look to someone beside you and say, I am complete in Christ. Hallelujah. Shalom.
We believe you have been greatly blessed. To connect with us more, follow us on our social media platforms at Menorah SOS on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also join us live every first and last Saturday of the month on Facebook and MixLR at Menorah-SOS. Thank you for listening.